God's word for our consideration this morning is the gospel lesson. I'm going to reread a few verses here. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little while later, someone else saw him and said, "You are also one of them." "Man, I am not," replied Peter. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know who you are speaking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. So far, God's word for our consideration this morning. I want you to think about your life as a Christian. I want you to think about your life as those who have been baptized into the rivers of baptism and claimed by God as his child. And I want you to think about this. How do you describe a Christian? Is it because we wear different clothes? Is it because we speak differently, that we don't swear, we don't cuss? Is it because we spend an hour in prayer each day? Or is it because we're in church every single time that there's a service? How do you describe a Christian? Is it a person who walks on this earth folded hands continually and has a halo around his head? I don't think that any of these descriptions follow us, do they? Because we sin. Because we're just like everybody else. We're in need of the Lord's washing. So if we can't describe a Christian, how are we going to describe a disciple of the Lord who walked with him all the time, who watched the water being made into wine, who saw him cure the lame and the deaf and the blind, who raised a person up from the dead, who sat among 5,000 and fed them with two barley loaves and a few fish? How can we describe a disciple? Because Peter certainly was a disciple, but he got himself in trouble when in the upper room, Jesus was telling his disciples that the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders are going to come and take me and they're going to kill me. And Peter says, "No, they're not, Lord. And if they do, I will certainly die for you." Words they must have had to eat, so to speak, just a little while later. Here he is in the courtyard. Peter followed them. And then, of course, he knew someone there. And he got into that courtyard, that special place, because he wanted to watch the proceedings. Maybe he felt guilty. We don't know. He could have felt guilty and ashamed that he didn't stand up for his Lord. But isn't Peter like us? Don't we try to sneak out of the house and come into church without friends or family seeing us? When I told my parents I was going to be a pastor, they were a little struck. Almost like the lightning bolt hit them. They didn't know what to say. So, what about you? How did your friends and family react that you are here at Mount Moriah? Do we deny the Lord? Certainly we do. We deny him when we sin, when we are hostile to one another, and our arguments. You know, it's amazing how many married couples will tell me, You know, Pastor, we don't fight. Really? Oh, we don't argue. Really? You're really saying how saintly you are and how holy you are? Because Satan works in our lives just as much and maybe more than he did in Peter's life. That's amazing. Peter struggled with his faith. Peter struggled as he was in the upper room with his fellow disciples, saying that he would go to prison or even death before he would allow his Savior, his master, his teacher, his rabbi to be taken. Then they came with swords, clubs, and lights and took Jesus away in those chains. And Peter felt helpless, just like we feel helpless. We feel helpless in our sin. We commit that sin and we go, Lord, forgive me. And then we turn around and we do that sin all over again. Are we any less Christian because of that? Are we any less saintly than the sins that we have committed? No, we're not. God knew that we were going to sin even before we were created. Oh, and we know about the sperm and the egg coming together, but that's God's hand. God created us. God gave us who we are. The eyes to see, the ears to hear, the mouth to speak, the organs that are packed into this body. Oh yeah, science can say that it's the egg and the sperm being united and all of that, but it's God who has done that. God's created us. And God knows. In Psalm 139, he says, I know when you lay down. I know when you get up. I know before a word is on your tongue what you are going to say. So if he knows everything, he knows that we're going to sin. And in that knowledge, he says to us that our sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Because Christ on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. He said it not only about the Jewish leaders and the Jewish people, but he said that about us as well. Forgiving us our sins. Oh yes, this Apostle Peter, he struggled with his faith. He struggled with going to see the tomb empty as well. Because he couldn't believe it unless he saw it. And afterwards, in John chapter 21, you read about it. John chapter 21, Jesus appears by the lake with his disciples. And they didn't know who he was until he sat down with them and said, yeah, let's have breakfast, let's have that fish. And their eyes were open. And Peter stood there, probably with his head bowed down, not wanting to even look at Jesus. And the Lord looked at Peter and said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. It went on three times. Peter then felt like he was forgiven. You and I come. We come to church. We confess our sins. We hear that we're absolved of those sins. We hear that we're forgiven. And the waters of forgiveness flood over us and lift us up so that we're enabled and empowered to believe in Jesus as the Lord and Savior of our lives. Peter returned from denial. Return to the Lord there by the waters and with all the fish to eat and with his other disciple friends there. The Lord forgave Peter. You and I, we come and we're forgiven. our Lord tells us in the psalmist, he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sins from me. And in Jeremiah, he says, your sins are forgiven, and I will remember them no more. We are rejuvenated. We are renewed. We are strengthened. And you heard in the epistle lesson this morning, Peter's words. He knew that his fellow disciples, he even knew that we would fall and that we would suffer into that temptation. But stand fast. Cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. This God cares for each and every one of us. And this Jesus isn't going anywhere. He's always there in our lives. Whether we change, and you think about all the changes that you went through in your life. I often tell people that Karen and I moved 9 times in the first 9 years of our marriage. God was with us each and every time we moved. Each and every time we set foot in a different abode, a different house, a different situation, God was always there. God is always with you as well, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter what happens in your life. Take a college student, for instance. We were all there at one time. But from the dorm to an apartment, God is with you. From an apartment to the house, God is with you. And from the house to maybe the nursing home or assisted living, God is with you. And to the graveside, God is with you. And God will bless you with his love and forgiveness in the Savior Jesus Christ. That's what it means to return from denying our Lord in the instances that we have, to returning to the Lord and his forgiving love, because he will always forgive us. In Jesus, in Christ's holy name, amen.